Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. And Brother Mark's already said, we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight. Those here and those that's tuned in this evening, a lot of people's had colds and flus, and this virus is going round. And some brethren are speaking to this evening and they're feeling a lot better, so they're hoping to be back by Sunday. And we're just praying for them all. And I want to pray also for the Matthew family. Mr. Matthew passed away suddenly. Saw it this morning. His son's very friendly with my Daniel. And we want to pray for the family, the Matthew family at this time. That the Lord would comfort them and bless them. And other needs as well. Sister Eiling's husband as well went for treatment today as well again. That the Lord will touch him as well, praise God. Let us turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus 26. And I just want to go over again maybe some of these things I've mentioned already, but I want to take a slightly different angle again and just look at it briefly again this evening, and I won't be long tonight. And I want to talk about the roof of the tabernacle really this evening. And I've said it many times, everything in the tabernacle speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's tremendous how that when you go into Leviticus, it's all about the blood. And you can bring the gospel out. And then in the book of Exodus, when you go into this tabernacle, it's all about Christ. And then you go into Numbers. And these are called the five books of Moses, actually. These first books of the Bible, and they're tremendous books. And they're powerful to preach the gospel from, the books of Moses. And the more I study them and look at them, I realize that, and I'm never going to be making any apologies for preaching the gospel, even to people that's saved. Because it does you good every time you hear it. All right? Praise God. Let's read just one verse, Exodus 26, verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. And then it gives more detail right on down. But we want to pray this evening, and then just a few thoughts I want to share with you tonight. Let's just bow our heads again this evening, and the Lord bless each one tonight. If anyone has a request and you want to raise your hand up, go ahead and do that. And every head's bowed, praise God. God bless, God bless, God bless. We want to be praying for Brother Gary, Sister Ruth, and the whole family, and Brother Nigel. The family's not too well either. And any others still that's not well. My sister wasn't too well, but she's getting over it now. And any others as well, we want to pray for them tonight that the Lord will touch them. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your name's no ordinary name, but your name is high and far above every other name. And we come from your footstool into your throne room and into your presence tonight because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray you'll forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God this evening. Cover us in this house with your precious blood. Cover those that's listening in with your precious blood. And Father, we praise you and thank you for the shed blood. And nothing can wash away our sins, only the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We wash afresh in that blood tonight by faith in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this evening for those that's sick still and maybe have got this COVID or some other virus. Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll touch them and heal them tonight, and that they'll speedily recover in Jesus' precious name. Pray for each and every one, for the brother that went to the chemo today, that you'll touch him and heal him and deliver him completely in Jesus' precious name. precious name. Pray for others at second home that you'll touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I lift before you this evening the Matthew family. Lord, I'm asking you for comfort. I'm asking you for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with them and be near them at this time to comfort them, Lord. And Lord, that it might be a time of reflection that you'll bless them and speak to them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for any others tonight that's tuned in and listening in tonight, maybe someone that doesn't know you, pray the Holy Spirit will take over and that you'll give us the context of the text. And Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for Nigel and the family, and for Gary and the family, and for my sister and for others that need your touch, pray you'll give every one of them a mighty touch of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for each one in this room with hands raised, give them the mighty touch and whatever the needs are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. You can see behind me in this picture the tabernacle, and this is the ceiling's opened up and it gives us a perfect picture inside of it. And this picture's not actually as good as the one in the back because the light here doesn't seem to be just as good, but the ceiling is what I want to talk about tonight. And I mentioned one of the other services about the silver sockets and how that they were taken, everyone paid half a shekel. And that's why the Bible called it redemption money. And they paid, and then they made this foundation from the silver sockets. And this tabernacle sat on the foundation of these silver sockets. And every true Christian is on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. And there's no other way into heaven apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle rested upon the foundation, 100 silver sockets weighing 100 pounds each. And I mentioned that already in another service. Upon this foundation stood 48 upright boards. And you can see them in this picture and maybe the other picture, the picture where the boards are on the side. And there, yes, that was it, brother. That's it. Just was a wee bit quick, wasn't it? But these boards right down the sides of the tabernacle are made from wood and they're overlaid with gold. And every number of the board means something. And the rings and the staves and the gold mean something. And the wood means something. Every single thing has an interpretation. Because the Old Testament, we see the types and shadows of Christ for the New Testament. And it all speaks as about someone. The upright boards were then held together by five horizontal bars of gold covered with wood. And we come then to the roof of this tabernacle. And the brother can put up the roof of the tabernacle, a shelter under which the priest was to minister. And the priest there, you can see the priest out in the front, and he would come in through this first veil. He's standing in front of the first veil. Now the door's on out. We saw that the other week. But he's standing here in front of the first veil. And that first veil's upheld with five pillars. The door has four pillars, but that veil has five pillars. And you have five epistles. And your door speaks to you of the five pillars, four gospels and five epistles. And every single thing about it speaks about something, you know, in the Bible. And you could read the whole message on every part of it. There's that much. You know, I met an old brother years ago. Me and Gary and Sister Ruth went down to his house quite a time ago. And he had the model of the tabernacle in a room. And it was a full-scale model. It was quite a size. And, you know, I just loved to meet him and talk with him about it. And he started to talk to me about it, and he said, you know, it's consumed his whole life. He spent his whole life just studying the tabernacle, and some people think, well, that's a waste of time. But it was all about the Lord. All about the Lord. You know, all about the Lord. was all about the Lord. Now there's four layers here on this roof this evening. And the roof of the tabernacle consists of these layers of material that was made. The first covering placed over the tabernacle, and therefore the only one which would be visible from the inside, was white. So when you went inside here, you would look up, you would see the white and the blue, you know, you'd see the good colors, the nice colors. But the man outside didn't see that. And these curtains were right down to the ground. You can see there, stripped back all the colors. But the man outside didn't see them colors. The man outside saw badger skins. And you know, that's like the man that's not in Christ. He looks at the gospel and he thinks it's nothing till it. He looks at a Christian and he thinks it's nothing till it. But once a man's born again, once a man comes to Christ and comes into Christ, then he sees the beauty of Christ, the radiance of Christ, the glory of Christ. But the man outside can't see that. The unsaved can't see what it's all about. And you know, our brother John mentioned it one week here when he preached, it's only the Spirit of God that can touch a man or woman's heart that they'll see anything. And if the Spirit of God doesn't move a man or a woman, they'll never be saved. It takes the Spirit of God to move a man or a woman. You know, the visible inside this curtain was fine twined linen, embroidered with blue and purple and scarlet. It covered the entire top of this whole tabernacle and hung right down the sides almost to the ground, beautifully embroidered in the pattern of the linen sheets with the figures also of the cherubims. And these figures of the cherubims were overshadowing both the holy place and the holiest of holies. And they overshadowed it. And it's really a beautiful pictures and all this, and the figures of the cherubims. And the main curtain in this building consisted of 10 separate curtains. 10 separate curtains coupled together to make one great covering and one great opening over the whole tabernacle. And Moses here in Exodus 26 and 1, Moses received instructions from God to build this. Now, somebody could look at that and say there's not much to it, but they say that's the best building ever built. That's what they say about it. You say, well, I know buildings better than that. Well, according to the Bible, that's the best building ever built. What man calls a good building and what God calls a good building is two different things. You see, over here in Northern Ireland, they built a boat one time called the Titanic, and they thought it was good. Man thought it was good. And perhaps it was, but it sunk. And you know, they said that Titanic couldn't be sunk, but God sunk it with a wee iceberg. And he didn't take long to sink it. And that's the truth. Man at his best, nothing before God. This beautiful curtain formed the ceiling of the tabernacle proper, visible only to, you know, from the inside. You can only see this beauty. And the worshipper, you know, that had come in here, and the worshipper that came in here, he just didn't run in. He had to come to the brazen altar sacrifice where the lamb was placed on, which speaks to us of Calvary. Then he had to come to the laver, the laver. Not the laver, the laver. I said that wrong. It's called the laver. And the laver was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel. And it held water. And you could go no further till you washed first. And not only did you wash first, but you know, when you look in water, what do you see? You see yourself. And it's like God's word is a reflection to what we look like. And when we look in the word of God, we see a reflection, whether we're clean or filthy. And Jesus said, you're washed by the washing of the water of the word. And the laver was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel that they borrowed of the Egyptians. They borrowed it off them. You know, people talk about don't be getting in too much debt. You know, the Lord's coming and all, and don't do this and don't do that. Well, that's opposite the children of Israel. They got as much as they could and run with. Isn't that right? That's the Bible. Now, I'm not saying getting debt. Any debt's probably not good, but they borrowed. They took half of them, and I'm not going to tell you another thing. They were glad to people would go. And that's a whole different subject tonight. You know, when you look at this from the outside, and I've already said it, all you see is the badger skins. Maybe Matthew, you could put up briefly the photo of the badger skins on it from the outside. No. Well, that's far one's it on the left. Right at the back, on the left, all you can see from the outside, it looks brown. It's not appealing looking. You wouldn't see the red or the purple or the scarlet. You would just see from the outside. You know, a stranger looking down on that was thinking off an effort. You know, I want to tell you a wee thing. Me and Brian Freeborn was up in a part of Australia somewhere, and I'm sure John's been there as well. I'm not sure of the name, but he took us up one night, and you can see over the whole place from this view. And we're thinking about this. And we were just thinking of the tents of the Israelites, the many in the world. And it would have filled the whole valley. There was a multitude, and there's the badger skin at the very back. That, like brown and white, that covered the whole thing. That's what you'd have seen from the outside. But imagine looking down on this, the many people that God led Moses to lead. People talk about, you know, one man shouldn't be over this and he shouldn't be over that. Well, Moses led a multitude. A multitude. One man. Because God was with him. Now, there was other men under him. But he was a man God chose. And God didn't choose nobody else to take his place. Moses was a man. And the Bible actually says Moses shall be God to the people and Aaron will be his prophet. That's the Bible. That's strong stuff, but that's the Bible. And Moses was God's mouthpiece. He's a prophet of God. And this building was made as Moses gave instructions, many instructions from God. Now, who would have thought when Moses made this back then, God brought them out to dwell in tents to worship God? Who would have thought when Moses made this that one day we would be preaching about it? That one day we would be looking at these colors and explaining the means of them and bringing out of it the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. Who would ever have thought of that? But God knew it. God, by predestination and foreknowledge, knew it. Lights, you know, the linen curtains which formed the ceiling represents Christ in all his glory of his perfect righteousness and his perfect redemption. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? That's what these beautiful colors speak of his redemptive work. The outside badger skins were Christ in his humiliation. That's Christ in his humiliation, in his humanity, in his suffering on the cross at Calvary. To see Christ as the Son of God, the glorious Redeemer, we must come to him first. You can't see the beauty till you come to him. But when you come to him, you can see the beauty. And you know the only one way to come to him is through the door. And when you come through the door, you must come by way of the blood. You cannot come through the door without coming by way of the blood. Because when you come through this tabernacle, you come past the altar, the sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar of sacrifice. You come by way of the blood. Then you come and you get washed in the laver. That's ever before you get to the veil. And you know, people say, I don't understand the Bible and the things of God, but you can't know it till you know Christ. And when you know Christ, you'll start to understand things. Now, the curtains which formed the ceiling of the tabernacle, you know, had four colors, and I've mentioned them many times, the blue, the scarlet, the purple, the white. Blue stands for Christ's heavenly origin. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He came from heaven. He didn't come from the earth. That's why Jesus is not like no other man. He's not like no other man. I really feel the Holy Spirit leads me to emphasize that when I'm preaching. Because there are too many people making, sure, you're a son of God. He's a son of God. No, there's a big difference. Every man outside of Christ was born a sinner. But Christ wasn't born a sinner. And he pre-existed. Ever before he came on this earth, he pre-existed. And then he said to the scribes and Pharisees, before Moses was, I am. And the Bible tells us all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything that's made. The scarlet speaks of a sacrificial death. The purple speaks of his royal character and his regal nature. The white, his sinless righteousness and his perfection. These colors all speak of someone. In addition, there were cherubims with outstretched wings, hovering as it were over the priest in the sanctuary, watching every move he made. And maybe a brother can put them up. Cherubims in the Bible are guardians to the holiness of God. That's what cherubims represent in the Bible. They're holy ones who are the attendants of the throne of God, and their song is given to us in Revelation 4, verse 8. We need to hear this. And it also mentions the beast. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and which is, and which is to come. They worship the Lord. I tell you, God wants us to worship Him. You know, church is not just about hearing preaching. We should be coming to church to worship the Lord. Worship should be a big part of Christianity, to worship the Lord. And you can worship the Lord even when you're not in church. The Lord wants us to worship Him. And He loves God's people, you know, to worship Him. You can also read about these cherubims, these living creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1. It gives detailed instruction about them. That they had four faces, the face of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. And these are woven. You know, it's all in this. All in the Bible. The book of Daniel goes into these creatures as well. All of this has a picture of the fourfold character of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he set forth in this tabernacle, you know, as a shadow. It's all set forth here in this Old Testament. And all these detailed structures, you can see the Lord in everything, even in these beasts and these faces. The face of a man speaks of Christ's perfect humanity. That's what this face of a man speaks of. The lion speaks of his kingship and his power. And the Bible calls him the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's an old lion going roaring about, but he got his teeth knocked out. He's defeated. But the lion we're working with is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Then you have the ox as a symbol of sacrifice and service, and that's the Lord. He humbled himself and went the whole way to Calvary because he loves us. The Lord loves you tonight. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then the eagle of the ability to see great distances. The eagle can see, for no other bird can see. He can see far ahead. And the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And we know also the eagle speaks of a prophet. The eagle of God, doesn't it? And therefore it also speaks of omniscience. The all-knowing one. The all-seeing one. We don't know what lays before us in life, but God knows everything. God knows everything. And we need His leadership every day. All of this the believer sees in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once he's entered by faith into Christ, he sees all these wonderful things. And into the more perfect tabernacle by way of the altar and by way of the blood. To the outsider, all this glory is completely hidden. They'll never understand it. You see, it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself taught us that in John 14. And in John 15, two chapters that you need to read. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That God would teach us by His Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's hard to comprehend all these things without the Spirit of God and become... You know, people wondered, you know, why do you get all excited about the things of God and raptured about it and enthusiastic all about the things of God? Well, there was a wee man studied the tabernacle. happened to her more. There's a woman worked in there. And she's a well dickied up woman, that's all I'm going to say, I'll put it like that. But you know, the story went round, people that knew her near her husband, they said his head went. He read too much of the Bible. Well, you know, that's a lie of the devil. So a man cannot read too much of the Bible. And your head goes if you don't read the Bible. But if you want to get your head right, read the Bible. Amen. Now, when you watch the people that said his head went, theirs was away. That was really the right way of it. His wasn't away, but theirs was. That's the truth. But you see, the world wants to picture the Christian that he's away in the head. He's went soft. But if you're a homosexual today, you're all right. You can fly your rainbow with six colors, the number of man, but it's not God's rainbow, for it's seven colors. That's the number seven's perfection. The seven spirits of God as well. Man's number, 666, number of the beast. But people don't see the Lord. They don't see the beauty of it. Now, let me just mention to you for a moment or two about these goat's hairs this evening. That's the bit I want to get to as well. The goat's hairs. And I'm sure you've seen goat's hairs. Somebody says, what's so fantastic about goat's hairs? What's in the Bible, it's about the cross. It's all about the Bible and the cross. And this is the second layer. The roof of this tabernacle is made from goat hairs. Exodus 26:7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be the covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. These goat's hair curtains were placed over the linen curtains and extended down the sides on the back of the tabernacle entirely to the ground. A goat in the Bible is a picture of Christ as a sin bearer. That's what a goat means in the Bible. Christ is a sin bearer. The goat was a clean animal, fit for sacrifice upon the altar of burnt offering. On the Day of Atonement, the priest was to take two goats. One was slain at the altar and his blood poured out of the base of the altar, symbolic of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. Now come with me to Leviticus for a moment when we get a scripture on it, Leviticus 16:19-22. And I'll go ahead and read it and you look at it. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he have made an end of recycling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation on the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions in their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And shall send them away by the hand of the fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited. And he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. So you had a goat that was slain at the door, and you used the blood, and the finger was dipped seven times. Why seven? There's something about seven. You've got three and you've got seven. And you've got 10 and you've got 12. And every single number in the Bible means something. And it's amazing the many times you'll see things that represent the Gentiles as a number, and then as the Jews as another number, 12 as the Jews. Seven's the Gentiles as well. And all the numbers mean something. But you had the goat that was slain, and then you had the live goat. What a tremendous picture this is of the Lord Jesus Christ, really, of this sin bearer. This all represents the Lord. Our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus at Calvary. He had no sin, but he became sin for us. He took our sin on himself at the cross. Amen. Now, there was a transference. Get this now. There was a transference of our guilt on him. Every one of us was guilty because of our sin and our sin nature. But there was a transference of the cross of our guilt was placed on him. And he paid the price of the debt by shedding his blood at the cross. And there's Well, I preached a load of messages. It's on the chemistry of the blood. There's a lot in it. The Holy Spirit could never be poured out till the blood was shed. And the Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit cleanses you from all sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin and makes you fit for to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. He took our sins in order that we might become the recipients of His righteousness. That's Romans 4. The imputation of righteousness. That's what the Lord gives us. This is taught by the death of the first goat, which was to be slain by on the Day of Atonement at the door of the tabernacle, and then the live goat. After having the sins of the people transferred upon him by confession and laying hands of the priest, it was sent into a desert place, never to return. That's the live goat. It tells us how Christ, as our sin bearer, carried our sins away. Carried them away. Now what the devil does with a lot of Christians, he bothers them every week. He gives them a heightened regular. And he gives them that big of a bothering every week, they're not fit to do nothing. That's the devil. Your sins and my sins are no longer. They're carried away. They're gone. The Bible actually says they're washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. But the devil wants to tell you they're still there. Because he wants to condemn you. That's his job. But Christ doesn't condemn you. Didn't he say to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Amen. But the devil wants to condemn you. Maybe somebody listening in tonight and the devil's condemning you. There's only one thing to stop us condemnation. That's the washing of the blood of Jesus by faith. Have a transference. Put your guilt was placed on the Lord. If you receive it by faith, it's gone. That's what these goats represent. And you lay your hands on the Savior by faith. Lay your hands on Him by faith. It tells us how Christ, as our sin bearer, carried our sins on the basis of His death. First slain goat, removed them as far as the east is from the west. Gone. All of this goat's hair curtains upon the tabernacle speak in great detail. It is Christ, our sin bearer, and our substitute. That's why there's no other man on this earth could save you. I don't care how good he is. I don't care what robes he wears. He could never save you or save me. And he's no better than you or me. I don't care who he is. God looks at everyone the same. Sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ is unique. And he's special. He's without sin. But yet been without sin. He took our sin. And he took our place. Praise God. The white linen curtains of which we have spoken and which formed this scene in the tabernacle proper, of course, were underneath these goat's hair curtains, indicating that our acceptance in Christ and our righteousness and salvation depend upon the substitutionary work of the sin bearer. That's what it depends upon. It doesn't depend upon you or me. What could you do this week to improve your salvation? Nothing. Not a thing. If you prayed more, it wouldn't improve your salvation. If you read your Bible more, that doesn't improve your salvation. Your salvation is already complete in Christ. There's nothing you need to add to it, and there's nothing can be took from it. But the devil wants to tell people that. And you know that some people even falsely preach that one of these goats speak of the devil as a sin bearer. That's false teaching, but there's boys preach that. There's all sorts of stuff, isn't there? You see, we're accepted in Christ. Our righteousness, salvation, depends upon the substitutionary work of our sin bearer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, nobody else. But you see, some people want to blaspheme and they teach that some the second goat represents Satan and the devil and the scapegoat who will have all our sins laid upon him and bear them forever and ever. Now that's nonsense. You know there's some people preach and the religions preach that the devil's going to be converted at the end of it all. He'd turn over a leaf and he'd be converted. Well, my Bible tells me he's going in the lake of fire. That's what my Bible says, he's going in the lake of fire. He's the enemy, and I believe we heard it on Sunday. It's not your brother or sister, it's the devil. It's the devil that's against you and me. And the Lord defeated him. Now I'm going to finish, just read a couple of scriptures. It's Psalm 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of it all, on Christ. Jesus Christ laid upon him the iniquity of every one of us. All that we ever done wrong was laid on him. And he bore it at Calvary. Suffered and died alone. Hebrews 9:28 tells us, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It has to be in him. You can never have righteousness outside of him. It's only in him. And just like in the tabernacle, when you look up and you see all this beauty, it's in. The man outside will never see it. All of this therefore is suggested by the curtains, the goat's hairs, as a second covering of the tabernacle. Christ bears our sins in his own body on the tree. He actually become sin for us. Galatians said that he took the curse. Took the curse. Man was under a curse, but the Lord broke it. He took it. You know, God said at the very beginning, cursed is the ground for your sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. John 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down in myself. I have power to lay it down. This is the words of the Lord Jesus, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's the Lord that bears your sins tonight. He's our righteousness. And he's coming again for us. Let us come and pray this evening. I'm not going to hold you any longer tonight. We're going to have a wee time of prayer, and I'm going to be turning off in a moment. And remember, Sunday services of Brother John, our elder, we're preaching on Sunday morning at 11, and then our evening service again. We'll be back at 6 o'clock. Come along and join us if you can. And may the Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads before the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your truth, for your word is truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We thank you most of all, Lord, that you're our sin bearer, that you bear our sins at the cross. He carried them away into the sea of God's forgetfulness, no longer to be remembered against us anymore. We thank you, Lord, not only did you carry them, but your blood cleanses us and makes us whiter than the driven snow. Lord, I pray if there's anyone this evening that doesn't know you, may they come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I thank you tonight for salvation. Thank you for your delivering power. Power to save, power to deliver. And I pray you'll bless each and every one tonight. Those watching, and bless them and touch your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue in prayer this evening.